The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by CDW, Miller Lite, PNC, and Comcast.
Hi, everyone. It's a special specialist edition of Bears All Access from Hallis Hall, brought to you by IGS Energy. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. Happy to have you along and joining us on the show. They arrived in their McLaren. They parked it out of the parking lot. Doors went up in the air, not to the side. We're talking about the punter, Patrick O'Donnell, and the kicker, Connor Barth. Do you guys have to do everything together just because of the nature of the positions you play?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
We were talking about it. It was like a year to, on Monday that, you know, I signed here a year ago, Monday, and it's just so funny how much our relationship has grown. You know, we had Chipotle a year ago on Monday, and I didn't know who Patrick O'Donnell was, and now we're best pals.
Yeah, right. We're doing a radio show.
You know, reading your bios, both of you guys were kickers and punters in high school. Who would do each other's job better?
That Ooh. Is a great question. Today he actually took a punt for the first time I've seen in 1 year.
I turned it over 41 yards.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Does your leg feel different? Like, cause, you know, you can feel the muscles that you're using on punting and compared to kicking. Do you feel it like when you hit a couple punts?
Yeah, I was joking. I was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. Right. Got a little tightness in the lower back there. I haven't done that in a while, but no, it's a little different.
So you guys showed up to training camp this year. I think it says a lot by the start, the statement that you make when you first show up, and you know all the cameras are going to be there. You roll into the dorm in Bourbonnais in a McLaren, and this is a fancy, very expensive sports car, a luxury sports car. Whose idea was this?
Well, I had the connection. A guy downtown, McLaren of Chicago, so he came over from Mazda, Josh King, so he definitely hooked me up with that. So before everyone gets all bent out of shape, me buying a sports car like that, no, it was definitely a dealer car.
I'm a big car guy, so I was like, please do this, O'Donnell. I love it, because I've had a few different cars in my day, so I was like, oh, if you get a hold of a McLaren, let's roll up on that thing for sure. And that was their lower-end McLaren. So those things.
Oh, wow.
We saw a P1 that was $1 million in the shop. So it was pretty cool to go to the place and see all the different cars.
Did you get to test it out on 57 on your way down? Because you can go a little faster.
Barth actually drove in front of me, cleared out some lanes. So I hit it a
like Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah. Right.
You know, 1 year before training camp, Jay Hilgenberg and I bought Harleys, and I drove it to practice. And the first time my mom saw me owning a motorcycle was on the cover of Sun Times. And the first time I was introduced to you guys driving up in that car was through the footage you see on TV and the newspapers and stuff. Did anybody call you and go, what are you doing? I can't believe you bought that car. Boy, things are good. Contract, all that kind of stuff.
No crazy calls, but I did get crushed on ESPN. There was one guy that was like, this guy only makes this, and this car is worth this. I don't think his financial guy is making right moves here.
Well, my financial guy, because obviously he knows I make dumb mistakes like that. He was like, well, you have to talk. No. I said, for once, this is not mine. It's Patrick's. I just drove in the I was in the passenger seat, so he took a deep breath because he knows I can get a little crazy sometimes.
Watching this play out, and I forgot to ask Tom about this, because the group of players that you played with in 85, I mean, you talk about crazy personalities across the board on that team. Did anyone ever have the kind of training camp appearance that these guys had in terms of the initial rolling into camp up in Platteville?
No, they didn't have that. Well, you know what? Walter Payton drove a Porsche 930 Turbo, and the license plates on it was IOU Zip. And and he had the car that Kangaroo gave him when he broke the NFL rushing record. But one bad story is Stan Thomas was a first-rounder that came here, and he had a big stretch, long, white Mercedes, and he had the license plates on it Bears 60, so everybody knew who his car was. And then this game, he got a holding call at the end of the game, and we lost the game because of it. And that night, someone super glued all of his locks shut. So,
oh.
I mean, that's kind of don't let too many people know what your fancy car is, because nowadays people will take it out on you personally if you don't succeed.
I'm laughing because Patrick O'Donnell went to a school that we just saw over the weekend. They have a turnover chain, literally a gold chain. Did you see this? Miami, the University of Miami, now has a chain. They call it a turnover chain. It's this huge gold chain with, in green and orange, this big Hugh medallion, you know, the kind that they have on their helmet, that they toss around and they give it to whichever player is able to generate a takeaway during the game. Man, you guys at the U.
And they wear it during the week or?
No, on the sideline during the game.
If he had it on, I was just like, I was like, O'Donnell.
This is coming from a North Carolina guy. Let me hear what you have to say about this.
We wear collared shirts and real short shorts tucked in with the croquis, you know? That's what we do.
Basketball school versus football school, you know? They probably do things differently in the gym.
I would think so.
I think they get stuff. I don't know. I'm not going to go there with the basketball.
Let's go into this.
Oh, this I want to hear. No. We've got a little
we
bit
talk
of
about a game of one-on-one here or something?
Oh, he would. He's got quite the height advantage on me.
He's mega punt. I mean, he can do more than just punt. He's. I think, if I'm not mistaken, did you not have the best out at the scouting combine in Indianapolis? No punter had ever put up the numbers that you had put?
I don't think so, Zach. Yeah, I probably hold that record.
Ask him about the bench press.
Oh, yeah, but that's legendary.
Yeah, legendary.
The strongest punter in the history of the world.
Hey, he learned to surf this summer. That was pretty cool. He came out to visit me. I took him surfing. He got up first try. I was actually pretty impressed.
I heard that you're a surfer. I've been wanting to talk to you about that because I live in Hawaii in the off season specifically to surf. So we got to get him into some waves. And I want to tell you, here on Lake Michigan, there's a couple spots that are really surf-worthy.
Tell me about it. I'll have to ask you about that because that'd be fun. I guess I got to get a wetsuit.
Yeah, it's fun, though, man. The wetsuits are good, and the waves are continuous. It's different than an open ocean swell that you sit there through the lulls to wait for your wave.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, week one, you got the Falcons coming into Soldier Field. What's different about this team? Let's start with special teams, because I know that there's been a heavy emphasis placed on improving that part of the team. Pat?
I would say just all the guys that we have in the locker room, everyone's familiar with each other. Just that consistency is really what we're striving for, just to work on the same page and have the same guys that kind of know where my ball is going to land if we're trying to hit the numbers or whatnot. So you got Sherrick and Bellamy, the two, I think, best gunners in the NFL. So those guys working off each other is great. So having those guys back is huge.
Yeah, I think the room's bought in a lot more. I think we're just we're studying more, we're working harder, and I think, like you said, I think we're just really meshing well. And I think you've seen obviously in the preseason we've made some big plays, and so hopefully we'll continue that into week one.
Are the extra points now second nature to kickers? Because it was a big thing of interest for the fan base of the NFL. It's not an easy kick anymore. So is it something that's like just become repetitiously done like extra points of before?
I mean, it's never going to be like the old days where it's from the 10-yard line, but you're getting used to it, you know, more and more. But the toughest thing I think now is if there's a big turnover, you know, an interception or a quick turnover where they score, or you know, we score immediately and we have to just jump out there without any warm-ups. You know, it's a 33-yard field goal now instead of a, you know, from the 10-yard line. So you kind of got a little more mental there, but it's becoming more and more second nature. But I would say you got to hone in, where sometimes back in the day you could just kind of get out there and just swing your leg on the old extra point.
Have you been in every NFL stadium throughout your career?
I've almost everyone except for some reason I've missed Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Thank God.
Is Chicago the hardest kicking conditions? You know, outdoor, indoor, you're pretty consistent unless you have a bad field. But is Chicago the most difficult?
Soldier's tough. I mean, it's not only from the wind, but the field conditions are a little bit. You know, they've always grown the grass a little bit longer. So for me, obviously, we're kicking off the ground, so that ball is hitting a little bit more on the grass. It was really bad back in my rookie year in 08. We played here when I was in Kansas City, and they've shortened it now, but I'm talking, I could barely see.
Got to slow you down somehow.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's tough. I mean, it's not as bad right now, but as we get, you know, later in the season, it's tougher when it gets colder, that wind.
But it leads to a home field advantage if you know how to handle it, especially if you understand where the wind's coming from and obviously the practice kicks that you get off that turf. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. There's a new member of the specialists group that was not around last weekend. He is now. We're going to find out about the new long snapper because, again, these guys are really tight. They call it an operation. everyone has to do their job in order for it to be successful. So we'll find out about the third member of the operation. Patrick O'Donnell, Connor Barth, they're both here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 11:05 p.m. for unique Bears stories and interviews. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. We're joined by the specialist kicker Connor Barth and punter Patrick O'Donnell. Always fun to chat with these guys because we don't get an opportunity to have this long-form conversation.
Are you checking your Twitter while we're
recording? No, I'm actually looking to because there's something that I want to point out. You know, this week on Inside the Bears, the rookies surprise fans with tickets, Tom. Players react to their Madden ratings, and first-year running back Tariq Cohen discusses his journey from Bun, North Carolina, to Halas Hall. I think there are about 500 people in Bun, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Right? I mean, it's a small town as you get. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sundays at 11:05 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at ChicagoBears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. Let's start with Tariq Cohen, because I think I heard John Fox say this the other day that – you know, he's 6 foot five, he's 5 foot six, so he's small, but he's not small when you watch him play. And he's a guy who could be a heavy contributor, at least in the early going on special teams.
No, I mean he's stood out ever since he got here, and obviously he's opened my eyes. I mean, I think he's able to kind of, you know, from a running back spot, he can kind of hide a little bit behind the tackles, and obviously he's been very dynamic already on special teams, and he's going to be a big contributor for sure.
The human joystick.
The human joystick.
You know, selfishly, I kind of don't want him to return punts because I think that's when you're exposed to big hits. And I think Tariq Cohen, when he plays as a running back, he's more in control of the type of hit he's going to take. He's got such great vision on the inside. And when he has knee bend and he's bent at the waist, he's got such a small target to tackle that's why he's been able to absorb some of the punishment that football dishes out.
Absolutely, yeah. He's like Sproles, right? He's
right.
A little short. He can hide behind the tackle. So I kind of think that's the guy that they were looking for in the draft, and they got him. So we're very fortunate to have him on our team, and I think he's going to be a huge difference maker this year.
Yeah, I think teams are going to have to game plan a lot with him, you know, on punts and if he returns kicks or whatever he does. But I like that the backflip thingy.
Is he going to be allowed to do it? He said he had to check with – I mean, if he's in a position to do it, good things are happening for the Bears. But, you know, he said he has to get the okay from the head coach first.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, to get a scouting report from you guys, during the course of the game, do you sit there and watch the game or are you always thinking about your next effort? You know, it gets to be second down and long. The punter's warming up with the snapper. The same situation for you. End of a drive, you know, field goal range.
I mean, I think that I always tell people when I'm done with games, it's more of a mental – I'm drained more mentally than I am physically. Obviously, we're not running like the other guys. So, I mean, we're locked in. I mean, because, you know, as a kicker, you might not get as many plays as a punter does. But, you know, I might not get a play till the end of the game. It could be a game winner. So, you just got to be locked in the whole entire time. So, I mean, I try to be as loose as I can until we about cross the 50. Once we hit the 50 with the offense, I start to really just, you know, put the helmet on and really zone in because that's when I know we're going to get, you know, get in the field goal range.
You know, Jeff Rogers, special teams coordinator, do you guys, like, go, like, help each other out in terms of you think of things that could help a punter and you think of things that could help a kicker in terms of location on the field, hash mark, wind, all the type of details that go into doing each of your jobs?
Yeah, I think we definitely give each other little keys right now. I mean, I've known Barth for a year, so I know his tendencies. If he mishits a ball, you know, I can kind of tell him, like, hey, you know, point the toe a little bit, you know, aim more left in this wind or little things like that. He'll ask me, like, what do you think? And I'll, you know, bounce an idea off him punting-wise. So I think it's good to have that relationship in the special teams world. So you're around each other all the time.
Who's a better golfer out of you two? The only reason I ask that because you're kind of like a caddy. You know, I'm saying that you listen to the caddy conversation on the PGA, and that's the type of conversation that you guys would have each other for the details of your game.
Exactly. It's a great example. I mean, I think Barth is a little more frustrated on the golf course than he is on the football field.
No, let's just say that golfing makes my kicking a lot better. It's like I can hit the ball, which a lot of people – I just cannot. It's just like, wow, I can place a football wherever I want.
Right.
So it's pretty cool to the Wells Fargo, which I actually got to see Coach Fox play in back in my hometown of Wilmington this year. you know, it's a big appreciation. You see that just how great these guys are, these pros, and you can just see just their swing is the same every time.
Well, it's the same thing that people think about you guys. You know how flawlessly you do your job, and it's not easy because of all the conditions that are involved. And then you got 11 guys coming, or however many guys on the line of scrimmage coming at each of you.
I mean, there was I was watching Phil on the driving range. And there was this wall, probably a little over 300 yards. I mean, he hit it just constantly. And it's impressive. I mean, it's just same way we try to be smooth with our swing. And you just watch these guys golfing. You're just like, wow, that's why they're so good. And obviously, why we've been able to be productive. So it's pretty. It does translate, which I wish it translated more into my golf game. But you know, that's a tough sport to master.
So anyone who watches the Bears on TV. John Fox wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's never, he's not stoic on the sidelines. He's moving around. He's always having conversation with somebody. What's he like on the golf course? Because I would think that that's not the kind of mentality you want to have when you're on the links.
I only got to see him for one hole. But it was very animated as he was. You know, he's, just chatting up with everybody. I forgot who he was. He was obviously paired with a pro. Because it was the Pro-Am. And,
oh, man, he must have been chirping.
Oh, he was. He has a good swing. He's got a good swing.
Does he really?
Yeah, he does. He can hit the ball.
John's an athlete.
Yeah.
He grew up a surfer, too.
Did he? Because he's a California guy,
yeah.
So he was talking it up with, I forget the player, but, his wife was following the whole. There was a big group, and it was fun. It was cool, but obviously he was very he was animated as he is,
Yeah, I believe that Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator, has referred to that version of the Bears head coach as Combine Foxy. Because when he needs to turn it on, you meet him for the first time, he's got that personality about him that he can just overwhelm you with in a good way.
I mean, you could see him doing stand up. You could he would be comfortable in front of a mic. People wouldn't intimidate him.
That's one of the nicest things as a kicker and punter. It means a lot when a head coach comes and he'll hang out with you at practice and you talk about football, but you also talk about other things outside of football, which is cool. A lot of head coaches don't do that in other teams I've been on. So it means a lot for a head coach to be able to spend time with us because we're obviously not as involved as the rest of the team is. So it's Coach Fox, he's a special guy.
He's kind of like a CEO because he trusts his experienced coordinators so he can bounce around and do stuff like that when you guys are stretching on the practice field, which is unique. All right, so there's a third member of the specialist group that was added this week, Andrew DePaula, who comes over from Tampa Bay, third long snapper you guys have had to deal with so far fourth if you count Bradley Soule, who filled in an emergency status after Patrick Scales went down. But the third guy, but the first guy that you have during the regular season. Is it tough in the span of a week to get the operation down where you feel comfortable on game day?
I don't think so. Depot he's a guy that's played in this league for a long time. He actually played with Barth, so that really helps, the consistency. And, Barth is a special kicker because he actually watches the snap. Most guys don't watch the snap. They just watch the finger go up or receive the snap. So having an accurate snapper definitely helps his mental game a lot. So
really? So you watch – doesn't that distract you from or are you
– I think it would help your timing.
It does. I mean, I've always said, I always tell – I tell any snapper I'm with, I'm like, I don't care where the ball is really. Obviously, O'Donnell would like it right there in the breadbasket, but I was like, as long as you give me laces, I'm good because I watch everything. So if it's a little high, a little inside or something, I can kind of time it, like you said. And I think it's like myself and maybe Ryan Succa from Tennessee are the only two guys that just how I was taught when I was younger, just to watch. I've tried to cut off the snapper and just watch the finger of the holder, but it's just very – I just can't cut off that side of it. So, it's a very different thing. There's a lot of head movement, which some coaches are like, how do you – that's a lot of movement, like you said, but I've been able to be okay with it, and I just, but I think, like you said, from a timing standpoint, it helps
Pat,
a little bit.
But you have to watch the snap, obviously. But, like, what part do you start, okay, I need, this is where it's going to come to, this is how I'm going to catch it. When do you start recognizing where it's going to be?
Probably midway. I could see the actual rotation, so I could kind of see the laces before it happens, but It's all feel, too. I can feel it before it gets down. So, obviously, Barth, if they're not perfect laces, he gives me a little bit of a look after the kick.
I'm fascinated by
this. I got a follow-up question
Let's take a timeout. When we come back, I mean, we're going to go inside the entire operation. There is, after listening to the next segment, you will have a brand new appreciation for what takes place on field goals, on punts, the whole deal. That's next with Connor Barth, Patrick O'Donnell, Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app presented by Verizon and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content all year round direct to your device. This is Bears All Access brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So speaking of which, no matter how you follow the Bears, whether it's via the app on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, or just going on to the website, chicagobears.com, last week you saw Patrick O'Donnell mic'd for that preseason finale against the Cleveland Browns. And you're a guy who usually, you don't do a lot of chirping on game day. Did you feel as though there was pressure on you to make it entertaining, being that it was a fourth preseason game, and the fact that, you know, I mean, they want ratings for this thing, and it's you.
No, it's actually really fun. That's pretty much our daily interaction right there. But, yeah, Barth usually comes with weird questions, and we kind of break up the monotony of the day. But it's definitely cool to have a guy like Connor kind of take your mind away from football, regardless of the situation at hand.
Well, before a serious question, I got one more fun question. Did either of you guys win pass, punt, and kick?
I actually got third place in the nation.
I have a
picture with who's Morton Anderson was kicking. I have a picture with the guy. I was in New Orleans.
I won it when I was 9 and 10 years old, and that was the first trophy and first time I ever got my picture in the paper was from pass, punt, and kick. But then I was reading you guys' bio on being great punters and kickers. You guys had to have a huge advantage.
Third place.
I want to see this.
I can call my mom right now on your phone.
bring the trophies
can we
here.
Do the, was it the lifeline, you know, where you call in?
Phone a friend.
Yeah, phone a friend.
Yeah, that's if he's willing to go that far, I'm going to trust you on this. But I'm guessing, Pat, that when you initially started playing football, that you weren't first a punter or a kicker for that matter. Were you probably tried to play a real position?
Yeah, I tried out for tight end. Made that JV squad, and then they had to have a kicker on a team, obviously, so we all lined up. I could kick it the furthest and kind of ran with it from there. So
you lucky dog.
Yeah.
You see his arms?
Right.
I mean,
benched like 225, 200 times.
It was something like 262 times.
So one more serious question. Back in my generation, they coffin corner kicks a lot more. Nowadays, it's the rugby-style kick. Do you drop the ball the same in a rugby-style kick? And I asked Jeff Rogers during training camp, it used to be where that punt was good from like the 50 in and you guys could place it. Now you can hit it from anywhere on the field. Your hang time, your distance is incredible. Can you teach us a little bit about the rugby-style punt?
Yeah, so it's essentially the same swing for me, but I just put the nose of the ball down, you know, just like Aussie rules, so... And I kind of drive it more, kind of like a golf shot, just drive it out more when I'm trying to pin it inside the 20-yard line, kind of just hang it up more, swing straight up versus out. So it's pretty similar in that regard, but, you know.
Does it hurt more?
When it gets cold out, yeah, it definitely hurts more, yeah. The nose of the football definitely doesn't care.
But it's incredible how that's changed punters in the NFL. That the Aussie guy for San Diego is the first guy to bring in here, correct? When you guys were probably still in grade school and stuff. But it is really evolved into a weapon. In the first preseason game, there was two really good coffin corner kicks, one by the Denver guy and one by yourself, in between the numbers and the hash marks, and I it's super effective.
Yeah, that's pretty much the trend right now. So if you don't really have that tool in your bag, you're kind of missing out. So especially in Soldier Field, we like to do it if it's a real hard crosswind. I can kind of control the ball more. It's kind of like his kickoff, you know, so you can just ride the wind versus trying to get the ball to turn over and heavy wind conditions.
Did you do it in college?
Just from the plus 50 stuff.
Okay.
Yep. So I evolved that when I got here a little bit. So turned out to be pretty good at it, and we kind of just went from there. So
where do you want the ball snapped to you? When you're punting, you want it high, low? Where do you feel most comfortable?
Ideally, it's waistline. So right on the belt is what we try to strive for with the snappers.
And is there a certain way you want to catch the ball? Because we always hear laces up. That's the most important thing when you're kicking. When you're punting, is there a specific area where you're trying to hit the ball and catch it so you complete the process as quickly as possible?
I wouldn't say. I mean, ideally, it's on the belt buckle so you can get the ball out in front of you. But if it's high, you kind of have to flip the ball down a little bit, which each more time. And those are the little things that you kind of tweak to try to get, you know, your operation down and make it more efficient. So,
and how often throughout the course of an off season do you spend time working on the craft so that you don't tire out your leg? You know what I mean? Where you build up the kind of, I guess you'd call it calluses that you need in order to do the job that you do.
Yeah, I would say I do 30 punts 2 days a week, kind of just in the off season to kind of keep things moving a little bit, but ramp it up as soon as training camp happens and you get that volume back and you get used to the game. So you get the most work for us during the game for kicking wise. So we might have like 8 punts or whatever it is, but we still have pregame warm up, we have halftime, and then we have, you know, everything in the net in between. So
is that the same for you, Connor, or do you take more time off? Or
I'm an old man these days, so I'm a little older than Pat. But, yeah, I don't really ramp up till May. I'll hit probably once a week in April, and then I'll, you know, like training camp's really our time to really to get the leg in shape, you know. So it's so yeah, April's kind of starting to hit like once a week, and then I'll start ramping up in May.
You know, in my generation of the NFL, the snapper was always a backup offensive lineman or something. Nowadays, you guys have a snapper, and that's what he does exclusively. Does it help you because you get more reps each day with the snapper, whereas if you played back in the old days where you'd only get so many reps a day with your snapper, is there more things, little details of your game that you can work on because you three guys are always together?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why we're always hanging out. I mean, you get to know each other. I think if you have a good relationship off the field and you trust each other, it's going to transfer onto the field. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's just like they used to always usually have quarterbacks holding.
Right.
Now it's really the punter because you're never spending time with the quarterback's always working with the offense, where now you got, you know, you're with the punter all the time. And when I was in college in 04, it was still a quarterback holding. And I finally was like, hey, coach, can we have our punter hold? Because I'm not getting any work with him. And so it's kind of that same thing. It's nice to have that one guy because you can get, you know, if we finish a field goal period or a punt period and you didn't hit it as well as you wanted, it's not like the guy has to go play offensive line. He can come over and we can keep working and getting more reps.
So yeah, that's interesting, though, that because it is our generation. Mike Tomczak, the backup quarterback, was always the holder. But, you know, it's not easy. You know, taking a 7-yard snap that's coming out like a bullet and the different conditions you're facing, it's something that, you know, like how many reps did you have to take before you said, okay, I think I can do this in a game?
I've always done it throughout college.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, okay. I've done it for 4 years as a starter there. So it definitely helps the more reps you get. We broke in Trubisky today at holding, so that was interesting.
Yeah, I was going to ask, who is the emergency in the event that – because technically, if your leg is fine but something could, you know, something happens to your finger in the middle of a game, you would not be able to be the holder.
Yeah, I think it would be Mike first. Mike held for Connor in Tampa, so they got that chemistry too. So, and then we got Trubisky.
Usually a wideout can sit in there. Steve Largent used to hold for Seattle back in the old days too. So, I mean, those guys are pretty clever with their hands.
Trubisky, because he's next to me in the locker room now. He goes, hey, man, get ready for laces. I was like, okay, you're not ever holding. We'll see you, bud. UNC, get out of here.
So I was Has like, he ever held in a game?
No way.
Right.
And Glennon obviously comes out there after practice. He goes, I watched Mitch. I'll take this. I think Sanchez is pretty mad too because he's held, and yeah. It's funny, you know, because it's always a good time.
All right, so take us through the operation. So Depot is what you call. I learned a nickname here for
Depot.
That's yep. Andrew DiPaolo, the new long snapper that the Bears signed this week. So claimed. So he's on the team, and game day. How is there a certain time that you need to get the whole operation completed by?
Yeah, I mean, whenever you're coaching, the average you want to be around a 1.3 seconds. We're actually, I trust O'Donnell so much, we're in the 1.2 range, which is awesome because obviously we have such a good offensive line protecting for us. The really only issue is off the edge. Mm-hmm. But since, you know, our operation time's so good that it's hard to get off the edge. So, I mean, 1.3 is kind of that golden. That's kind of the rule whenever you're in college or in pros, that's kind of that number. But I'm usually in the 1.27, 1.25 range because we have, you know, obviously I watch the snap as well. So, but I trust O'Donnell with his hands that he gets it down and it works.
You know the edge blockers for extra point field goal. There, it's usually a big guy, and he's got a tough assignment because he's got to protect his inside, then go and kind of get a hand on the outside. When you see the long field goal that Deontay Thompson returned this year, I think that eventually, if you guys try those, you're going to have to put out. You're going to have to put tacklers at that outside position because you're not going to be able to have seven linemen or five linemen, six linemen, two tight ends or something chasing guys that are that great of athletes. So that's what I was thinking that game is eventually when you do go to that and they put someone back, you got to throw some tacklers somewhere in that protection.
Yeah, that's just tough play. I mean, that's just one of those things where it's, you know, you give it a shot and you try to make that long field goal. And
we become the most athletic guys.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
The field.
Right, that's what I mean.
I don't have many tackles under my belt, but I think O'Donnell's got a few. But, yeah. I'm
well, he got a personal foul this year, didn't he? Yeah. Laid it out of bounds. Yeah.
George was not happy with that.
Do not let that. Yeah, during the regular season, let's not have that happen.
Patrick, come here for a second.
Did you get fined for it?
We need to have a talk.
I didn't get fined.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Yeah.
But it's a totally legal play. I mean, there's.
No, it isn't. 2 yards out of bounds
is
not legal.
You know, if you don't get fined, to me, you.
I thought Tom, out of all people, would have a little more.
Yeah, I do. You have one of the best tackles I've ever seen a specialist have. But.
Which one?
It was.
I guarantee you, he remembers it.
No, I know what it was. I have to go back in my memory.
Seattle.
Earl Thomas
ran it back, and I gave him click the heels in chase mode.
No, there was one that you actually led with your shoulder pad and hit somebody hard, and it was a legal play near the sideline.
I appreciate that. He's always watching me, this guy.
Well, listen, Tom
watching
watches
all you guys.
The eye in the sky never lies, and Tom is one of those eyes in the sky. So in a preseason game, somebody say, for whatever reason, because you're testing different coverage units and all that, if a guy's coming at you, Connor, in a preseason game, a game that doesn't count, how much are you putting the effort to stop the guy from scoring if you're the last line of defense?
And we're talking kickoffs here, right?
We're talking kickoffs.
We've always been taught, you know, we're not, you know, I'm not going to get down there. Like, we're kind of that last line of defense. I mean, we're kind of swipe the legs or kind of just throw your body in there. Right. Maybe slide tackle. I don't know. It's
speed bump more than
anything. Yeah, more speed bump, exactly. I'm not going in there shoulder. I have a cloth one strap, chin strap, jaws broken, nose broken because there's about this much space. It's not a good sight.
Just keep your head out of it or else someone will come from the press box and drag you off the field and we can't afford to lose you.
Essentially, I'm playing football with one of the old school helmets, you know, no face pretty much. So it's
But in a real game, everything changes because, I mean, every play matters in a real game. What's the closest you've ever come to going, uh-oh, I'm in a lot of trouble here?
I mean, I've had multiple.
What's the hardest? What would you call it? I don't know.
Parts.
You see the lane. You're just like, oh boy, here we go. And you don't realize, like, you know, I'm 200 pounds, but you don't realize how much strong. Like another 200 pound returner, you're just like, I've hit a guy's legs, and I'm just like, that was a tree trunk.
Yeah,
and
I don't,
it's just insane.
Well, you get a Tariq Cohen or you get a Herschel Walker. Which one do you want to face? You want to face a guy that's going to run at you like Herschel, or a guy that's going to make you look kind of bad in space?
Yeah, I'm going to go
answer
with
that for you. Yeah. He doesn't want to go head up. No.
Nor will I'm like I said, I'm throwing the shoulder in there.
Right.
Speed bump. Just we have, you know, I trust my as long as I take care of my job, put the ball where it needs to be. I trust our. We have a good cover team that will hopefully will take care of that for me.
Man,
so,
that's – I mean, it's hard. There's nothing that can prepare you for the kind of – unless you've been through it. Tom, the speed on a game day – I'm talking about a real game day when the game counts. The speed, the viciousness in which guys go after one another because it counts. There's nothing like it. The elite athleticism that you're seeing – although Pat's laughing because, you know – with Mr. Combine here, he's waiting for that contact.
I'm learning now. Keep your head on the swivel at all times. But you never know where it's coming.
No, you guys are in the huddle with some crazy NFL guys. You think about both of you guys throughout your career when you're getting ready to kick off or you're going to punt, and you just look at these guys and the way they're reacting, and that's the way they make a living. You know, that whole crew of the core group of guys here that have been here for 5 and 6 years now.
All right, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, I want to break down the other phases of the game and what it's going to take to beat the Atlanta Falcons and what's new about the Bears in 2017. That's next with Patrick O'Donnell, Connor Barth, Tom Thayer, Zach Sabin with you on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Start the season opening weekend off with a day of music, food, football, and fun at the Miller Lite Bears Block Party in Logan Square this Saturday, September 9th. I think Tom's going to be there, right?
I want to be there.
Yeah, get complete
partying
event details at chicagobears.com. So are you really partying? Are you an MC? What are you doing at this event?
Jeff and I are going to be there on stage introducing some acts and just, hanging out with the Chicago Bears fans.
Yeah, it's the Block Party. Just for more information, go to chicagobears.com. We're with the specialists, Connor Barth, the kicker, the punter, Patrick O'Donnell. They're with us, Zach Sabin, Tom Thayer with you here on Bears All Access. Brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. What are you most excited about, Connor, about the 2017 Bears? Been a lot of changes this offseason. As players in that locker room, what excites you the most about taking the field this year?
I just think that we're going to, we're a young team, but I think we're going to surprise a lot of people. I think that we're hungry. Obviously, we had a tough one last year. I think people are ready to roll, and I'm excited to see some of the new guys coming in. And I just think we're gonna from what we've seen in the preseason, I think we're gonna open some eyes. And it all starts with this one coming up, and we got to take it one game at a time, and we'll see what happens.
I said in the first four games, the special teams have to be the reason the Bears win a game. And is a special team something, a program where the longer you're in an offense, the better you know this system? Is special teams the same? And now you have a core group of guys that have been around here since Jeff Rogers has been here. And do those types of things, is there more of a variety of the ways you can use your special teams because of guys been here?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, Deontay Thompson returning that kick 109 yards, and then the following week we block a punt in the end zone.
Right.
So, two huge plays in two different games, so we definitely need some breakout play like that to happen.
But that Sherrick McManus tackle that he made at the 3-yard line to give you guys the opportunity to even go for a block, I think that kind of gets understated because he's another one of the core guys that, he's made it a life in the NFL because of his ability to play on the special teams. But it is nice to see that when everything combined, step A helps step B and so on and so forth.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, when you can get a block punt like that or a big game-changer play that usually obviously gives you a huge advantage and hopefully, in the outcome of the game, we need those as much as we can, and it's important.
It was impressive to see Roy Robertson-Harris, who ended up blocking that punt, to anticipate coming off the foot, because here's a guy that's 6'7", 290. He could use all that momentum to hit the punter and roughing punter, but I was impressed by his anticipation of where it was going to leave the foot.
Yeah, we definitely work on that in practice a lot. So Barth is usually on the other end of the string with the football, so he's a large human being.
I do not want him coming at me.
Oh,
no,
man.
No, that was an amazing he's an athletic guy.
It's a natural for him. Pass rusher,
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Pass rusher against a guy that's not a pass blocker.
Yeah. The long snapper.
Right.
He had no chance on that.
Good luck.
Oh, yeah. Advantage Bears on that play. So you had a chance, Connor, to know Mike Glennon before he became a Bear. What is it about him that endears him to teammates? He was voted one of the captains. I think that fans don't really have an inside look at what he's like, but I feel like he's the kind of guy that people flock to him for some reason. What is it about him that makes him a good teammate, a leader, those kinds of things that you need to be successful at the quarterback position?
Yeah, I've just noticed he's kind of got that confidence, I mean, he studies it. I mean, he's studying a ton. I mean, everything ever since I've gotten to know him, I mean, he's always studying. He's always working, and I don't know, he just seems to have a really good command of the huddle, and I think guys can just, he's a guy you can just trust. I mean, you can just, like I said, people flock to him, and it's impressive. And I mean, even watching him in Tampa when he was with Jameis, I mean, that guy, I mean, he can throw the ball now, and I was always impressed watching him in practice in Tampa, and I'm excited to see what he can do this week. It's going to be fun.
The quarterback is such a serious position. Can he have fun? And when he's in the locker room and it's just you guys and no camera, nothing else, can he have fun, tell jokes, laugh and all that, or is he quarterback serious?
I mean, I'm always the jokester, so I try to bring it out in him a little bit. Today he joked around because he saw Mitch and he was just like, no, Mitch is not holding. So that's the most animated I've, he's a little, he's very, I think he's still learning, you know, he's still learning Chicago. You know, right. I think he's slowly opening up, and I'm just a very open book. You can ask me anything. So I had him over at my beach house this summer. So
hold on. We got to talk about this when we come back here on Bears All Access with Connor Barth, Patrick O'Donnell, Tom Thayer, Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Sunday's regular season opener against the Atlanta Falcons is brought to you by Hall of Fame partner Dr. Pepper, the official soft drink of the Chicago Bears. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Pat O'Donnell's here. So is Connor Barth. He went to North Carolina, the new quarterback of the Bears. Well, actually, both of them are from North Carolina in some fashion, because the starter, Mike Lennon, went to NC State, and then the number two quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, ended up going to North Carolina, your alma mater. So you had Glennon over to your place this summer.
Yeah, it was his wife's family actually has a beach house at the same town as me at Wrightsville Beach, and he happened to – he told me he was in town, and he always kind of ducks me, and I'm like, no, you're coming over this time. So, it was just a chance, you know, like, I like to try to get some time off the field, you know, hang out with the guys as much as I can to get to know him, you know. I know he's busy. He's obviously got, you know, his family and stuff. So it was nice to be able to get away from football and just kind of hang out on the porch and enjoy the night. My family was there and stuff, too. I didn't know my family and their friends were going to be there. So I think he came in and he's like, oh, God, a lot of people here. I thought it would just be me and him. And
right.
But it was just nice, like I said, to get off the field a little bit and, you know, talk just not football, you know, just life and stuff like that. So
did he show up in board shorts or gym shorts?
No, he was just in regular shorts. Right. It was at night. So he popped in for a little bit and it was fun just to hang out.
Khakis.
Khakis.
He took the group out, all the offensive teammates. I think they went down to Fort Lauderdale because, like you were talking about, when you're new, you have to be tight off the field, I think, in order to be successful on the field. And you have to know how to approach different players. You know, some guys respond to if you yell at them. Other guys kind of have to give them a pat on the back. And that's important when you're the quarterback, I think.
I agree.
Or a kicker or a long snapper or a punter.
No, I mean, like I said, one of my, you know, being an older guy, I've always said that, I mean, building relationships off the field is just going to make the team better. I mean, this is one of being here in this locker room, I've noticed how much more guys hang outside of football. You know, in Tampa, everyone kind of went their separate ways, went home, you know, very businesslike. Obviously, it's a job, but here I've noticed, like, we try to hang out as much as we can. I mean, it's just Cody Ware lives over by Pat, and we'll grill out and stuff like that. So I've noticed that I think the more chemistry you have off the field, you know, that just brings more chemistry on the field. That's what I've noticed. So,
you know, too, at the quarterback position, I kind of talk about it every single show. I don't think they realize how difficult to master the terminology is. And when you're Mike Glennon and you're trying to learn the terminology that fits in his job but how it factors in the other 10 guys' responsibilities in the huddle, it is amazing and is the type of trips to Fort Lauderdale that he has to have just to – get all these guys on the same page because it's so difficult.
Dude, I'm gonna, Mike, man, you didn't invite me to Fort Lauderdale.
I'm a little upset.
Yeah, I'm like, you live. I was. I'm right like there. Actually really upset now. I love the beach. He lives there. He didn't even know that he was. Wow. Okay, we have a lot to talk about after this show is over.
The jet skis. I'm a little upset.
Yeah, I'm upset right now. I'm not mad that I would have ran some routes.
But. See, if you had terminology that factored in your job, then you'd be able to just learn that instead of having to talk about the social events.
Exactly.
One of the things that interests me the most is when you are a specialist. Does the rest of the team bring you in? Are you included? Because I'm just looking at Tom's face. I'm guessing that back in the day, kickers, punters, long snappers, that you didn't treat them.
Our Thursday night dinners always included the punter and the kicker. Always.
Oh, this is O-line, right?
Yeah.
O-line.
Every Thursday night we had a big dinner, and Kevin Butler was the mainstay at the dinner. Maury Buford, who was married at the time, was a come-and-go type of guy, but they always had an open invitation.
You guys.
Still waiting on my invite to the O-line dinner.
It's just three guys. It's the long snapper, the punter, and the kicker.
We're going to Chipotle tonight.
Oh, man, this has been a fun hour. Guys, good luck Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. Really interested in seeing this new Bears special teams unit and after the big plays we saw in the preseason, what it's going to look like now that it counts. For Connor Barth and Patrick O'Donnell, Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on chicagobears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by CDW, FanDuel, Verizon, and United Airlines.